All right, we started back the first of the year working our way through making 2021 the absolute best year it could possibly be. And we had an introduction to that, and we've talked about purpose, and we've talked about passion. This one is not actually part of that, but once we get our priority, and it is fueled by a passion that has as its heart a purpose, this one comes into play. I will be out of town next week. We already had that scheduled before the gospel meeting was scheduled, and so Kim and I will probably be here on Friday and Saturday night for that part of the meeting, but not be able to be here Sunday. So we'll skip a week, and then the next week we'll go back and we'll begin to look at our plan and the fact that we have to be students to accomplish this plan. But let's interrupt it with Nehemiah 4. Newton's first law of motion, or the law of inertia as we call it sometimes, states: if a body is at rest or moving at a constant speed in a straight line, it will remain at rest or keep moving in a straight line at a constant speed unless it is acted upon by a force. Simplified just a little bit, in case science is not your thing, the shortened version is: an object at rest tends to sit there, and an object in motion tends to stay in motion. Or even further in the country, sitting things sit and moving things move. You can see the penguin at rest. You can see him developing momentum. Inertia kicks in as he heads down the hill, acted upon by a force, the rock, but he keeps moving. That is the tendency. Same thing that happens when you watch your hamster run on the wheel and he stops running and then can't figure out why he's going in circles backwards. Inertia, momentum, take over. I want you to take Newton's law, both parts of it. Things at rest tend to stay at rest. Things in motion tend to stay in motion. And I want you to transfer them into the spiritual world for this discussion this morning. We're going to address both sides of it. We're going to do so negatively, and then we're going to do so positively. We're going to save the positive to the last, because that's the real thrust this morning. Let's start with this. Things at rest remain at rest unless acted upon by a force. Basically, that means the hardest part of any job is getting started. If you're going to push a car or you're going to push a boulder, the hard part's getting it moving in the right direction. Once you get it, not necessarily easy, but once you start getting it moving, it's not nearly as hard as it was when it was at a dead stop and you were trying to be the force acting upon it to take it from a state of rest where it wanted to stay to a state of motion. Works with people. Forcing yourself outside on a cold day or a hot day, depending on whichever one is not your preference, to start mowing the yard or start raking the leaves. It's easier to stay at rest. It's easier to sit on the couch. Certainly easier yesterday to sit there and watch basketball game after basketball game than it was to want to go out and mow the yard or trim bushes. It's the same spiritually. Exodus 3. Most of us know the story. God comes to a burning bush and he calls Moses to him. Come here, Moses. You know, I need you to take off your shoes and I need you to step up to me because this is holy ground, but we're about to have a conversation. And he starts out this conversation by, in verse 10, telling him, now come on, I am going to send you. You left Egypt, you came out here, you've been wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years chasing sheep. Now you're going to go back and you're going to get my sheep. Moses is at rest spiritually in God's work. And so the excuses begin to come readily. Verse 11, who am I that I should go? I'd rather sit. I'd rather stay in the wilderness with my sheep. Verse 12, God says, I will be with you. So Moses has another one. Verse 13, what is your name? They're going to ask me questions when I get there, and I don't have the answers. I don't want to go. Chapter 4, verse 1, what if they do not believe me? What if they will not listen to what I say? So three excuses. Verse 10 of chapter 4, I am not eloquent. I'm slow of speech. I get tongue-tied. Four excuses. Moses doesn't want to go. So again, it's true spiritually. It's difficult to get moving once we've become inactive, once we've relaxed, once we're lazy, once we're coming out of quarantine and trying to get back into the swing of things. Half my slide popped up again. Judges 6, we meet Gideon. Gideon, I need you to go. This is a period of judges, Gideon. This is a period where at different times, I'm going to raise up different people in my kingdom to go rescue. Like I did with Deborah. Gideon says, nuh-uh. What right do I have to go? I'm a nobody. I'm the least of the least. The least tribe, the least family, the least in my family. Mm-mm. I don't want to get moving. The prophet Amos, in the 7th chapter of his writing, says, I made the excuse to God, I am not a prophet, nor a son of a prophet. Let me tend my sheep. Let me trim my fig trees. But don't ask me to start moving in a spiritual direction. The apostles in Acts chapter 2. Jesus has just said, you're going to be witnesses. You got a job to do. Go wait in Jerusalem. Notice when he tells them to go wait in Jerusalem, he doesn't say go hide in Jerusalem. And yet that's what they're doing. They're hiding. They're afraid. They're having trouble getting started. The hardest step of any journey is the first step. You get to the last step, you may be exhausted, you may be worn out, you may be sore, and yet it's easier to make than the first because you're crossing the finish line to get home. It's that first one. The unknown, the having to start, that is so difficult. Bodies at rest tend to stay at rest. So, make it practical for a second. If you need to start studying your Bible in Bible class, if the last 2 weeks as we've gotten back to our Bible classes, we say amen in worship and you hit the back door and go home, I'm going to tell you that you need to stay for Bible class. If that is the need, take the first step today. Once you take the step, the next one gets easier. And the next one gets easier. If you need to start personal Bible study at home, another one of those practicals, make a plan. Make a plan that you're going to study at this time. And you're going to study in this way, in this room. All the distractions are going to be set aside. If you need to approach someone you love with the gospel, make a plan and set a deadline. And I know these are things that we've talked about. Have to be reinforced because we do not get specific in our spiritual lives. We can get specific in our work lives. in our plan, in our home, in our education. And then we come to our spiritual lives and we don't have anything in writing. We don't have anything concrete. And we wonder why we never get moving. We wonder why we do not accomplish a lot. If you need to start visiting or praying or doing good deeds or whatever it is that you need to put into the blank that you know needs to get started, but it's not started because you're still that body at rest, start. Take a step in that direction and see if it does not become easier. Now there's a second part of that. Things at rest prefer staying at rest. Things in motion, moving in a single direction at a constant rate of speed, continue in that single direction at a constant rate of speed, unless acted upon by an outside force. There's a name for it in the spiritual world. It's called repentance. When one is moving in a certain sinful direction. It can be lust, it can be dishonesty, it can be covetousness, it can be uncontrolled anger, sinful anger, uncontrolled language, it can be the battles within a marriage, it can be whatever. When you're moving in a direction, it is very difficult to stop. The hamster keeps going on the wheel. You're driving your car at 60 miles an hour and you apply the brake and it begins to slow down. It is still moving in that direction. It takes a while to get it stopped. If that car hits a tree, you move forward even though the car stopped. Repentance deals with that idea. I am moving in this direction and all of a sudden I need to stop traveling that way. I need to turn around. I need to move in the opposite direction. And that is contrary to human nature. That is contrary to inertia, to momentum. I'm going to use David as an example. 2 Samuel chapter 11, the story that we know of David and Bathsheba. David's not where he's supposed to be. It's the spring of the year when kings go out to battle and David's hanging out at the house. David begins moving toward Bathsheba with his location. He begins moving toward her with his eyes. Walks up on the roof in the cool of the evening and he spots her. And his eyes are drawn and he can't take them off. He moves towards her with his actions. Hey, I need some help. Who is that woman? Go get her and bring her to me. Goes through the adulterous relationship and then he keeps moving in that direction after the fact. Well, send me Uriah. I need to cover this up. Send Uriah back. I need to cover this up. It takes an outside force. Nathan, with his message from God, to turn him. To get him to stop moving in the direction he's going, and turn around and go the other direction. David, you're the man. You're the sheep stealer. You're the one that God has given the world at your feet, and you want to go take the one thing that he saved for Uriah. And it stops him in his tracks. And he turns around and he begins to make things right. So inventory for a moment. Whatever it is right now in your life that needs to be left behind needs to start now. You need to begin applying the brakes and changing direction. All right. I said there was the positive, taking care of the negatives. We need to get up and move. And we need to stop traveling in the wrong direction and turn around. So let's go to the positive, the primary focus of today. And this is kind of tying it all into this plan that we have for 2021. An object in motion tends to stay in motion unless acted upon by an outside force. Let's go to Nehemiah. Let's go back to our text now. We're going to spend some time there. In chapter 2, Nehemiah has gone back to Jerusalem. He has found the deplorable conditions. The walls are broken down. The city's desolate. And so he gets permission to build. He gets permission to help return Jerusalem to a state similar to what she was before. And he goes to the Jews and he says, this is the plan. And in chapter 2, verse 18, they say, we agree. It's time to get to work. All right. We're going to take it and we're going to start moving in a right. We've been sitting still all these years of captivity. Now let's move. Let's go. And so they start. Go back to chapter 4 now where Gilbert read. Sanballat hears of the plan. He hears that they're rebuilding the wall. And he's furious. He's angry. He gathers others around him. And he begins to make fun of them. And they begin to make plans to interrupt them. Verse 4. God, we hear it. How about you hear it for us? They're saying bad things about us. You give them over to plunder. Get to verse 6. So we built the wall. We built the whole wall and it was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. Nehemiah started the ball rolling and it caught on. And even when the enemy tried to throw things in their path, it didn't work. They're moving in the right direction. They're beginning to pick up speed. The enemies are trying to slow them down. They're trying to stop them. They're plotting against them. It's too late. They've already started making progress, and the inertia has continued. The momentum is continuing. The thing has started in motion and it's going to continue, in this case, regardless of the outside force. So watch. Verse 15 through 23. Our enemies heard. They started to gather around us. So what do? We made a plan to combat their plan so that we kept moving. All right, this half's going to carry swords and shields, and this half's going to carry hammers and boards. You're going to build, and we're going to protect you, and the work's going to go on. The momentum is going to continue. We're going to keep moving in the right direction, day and night. Sleep in the city. Don't go home. Let's keep this going. So they make provisions. Now chapter 6. Came about that it was reported to Sanballat, to Tobiah, to Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies that I'd rebuilt the wall. There was no breach remaining. We hadn't had time to set up the doors and the gate. And they sent me a message. Said, hey, why don't you stop what you're doing and come meet with us? Let's have a talk about this. Verse 3, Nehemiah says, do not get in my way, to paraphrase. I'm doing a good work. Why would I come down from where I am to talk to you? You're just trying to put something in our path to keep us from rolling forward. So chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. Remember, O my God, Tobiah and Sanballat according to these words of theirs. Nodiah the prophetess, the rest of the prophets who were trying to frighten us. The wall was completed on the 25th of the month, Elul, in 52 days. Do you realize what a feat that is? Have you seen the remnants of the wall of Jerusalem? 52 days with half of them carrying swords and shields. They rebuild the wall. They had a plan. They got the ball rolling and it continued to pick up speed. Apply it spiritually. We have a plan in place for a lot of things that are already moving us in the right direction. I've asked you this morning that if you're not already one of those who's moving, to join us in that forward progress. When that happens, things get rolling and the snowball becomes an avalanche. And there's nothing in its path that's going to stop it until it gets to the bottom of the mountain, till it meets the unmovable force, the flat ground. Spiritually, when we get to moving like that, the point is, in spite of all of Satan's attempts in this past year, and understand, I'm not saying that Satan caused all these things that happen. What I'm saying is Satan uses the things that go on in this world to his benefit. So whether we're talking about COVID, or we're talking about the deaths that we've experienced, or we're talking about shutdowns of all of these things, or we're talking about accidents that have happened to good people, in spite of all of that, in roughly the last 12 months, what? This congregation has grown. Do you understand that? Do you understand how many new families we've added in the last year when other congregations are struggling? Do you understand that our attendance is continuing to increase closer to where it should be before this is all over? That we have baptized several in the last year. We've started Bible classes back. Wednesday nights are on the horizon. We've started our evangelism program. There are studies in motion. I have two today. Things are good. Things are moving. Things are moving in the right direction versus the wrong direction. And so the point I'm trying to make this morning is, since things are already rolling, since things are already going in the right direction, why not turn it into an avalanche that will sweep Satan out of the way, so that it will not matter what he puts in our way? It'll be overcome. I want you to watch something else as I re-show the avalanche. Notice what about an avalanche? Until it gets to the bottom, it does what? It gets wider. It pulls more and more in from the sides. It spreads. It picks up speed. Positive movement is contagious. When you get excited, when you get things rolling, other people want to become a part of it. A fire will grow as long as there is fuel and oxygen. A tsunami will gain strength as it travels across the ocean until it runs out of water. the apostles set Jerusalem on fire. They get it rolling in Acts chapter 2. But what have we been talking about the last couple of weeks? When the church begins to grow and those numbers begin to swell, it's no longer the apostles that are doing all the work. It spreads to everybody. And it caught fire, and by Colossians 1, they've covered the whole world. We can do the same thing. We've already seen the spark. The flame is already growing. It is time to turn what we have, what God is doing through us, for us, and in us, into a roaring inferno that terrifies Satan. Inertia is on our side. The science that we have transferred to Christianity is on our side right now. We can retake a county and a state and a country and a world for God because the avalanche has started. My question this morning for you then is, do you want to come along? There's a lot of us that are already moving that direction. But it's up to you to decide to join us. Keep it going. Make it grow. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, I want you to look and see what obstacle Satan has put in front of you this morning. What is it that's keeping you from moving towards the cross? Once you've got to evaluate it, once you know what it is, now I want you to think about, what do I need to do to remove it? Is it a sinful action that you just don't want to let go of? Is it an old doctrine you don't want to let go of? Is it family ties that are making it difficult? Is it pride? Whatever it is, what is it that you need to do to remove it? Because once you remove the first obstacle and you get moving in the direction of the cross, you can bowl right over the top of Satan. You can get to the Savior. You can obey the gospel. And that momentum will continue to carry you in a positive direction as we stand and sing.